You are listening to the Minnesota Jazz Legends, The Elders. I'm your host, Patty Peterson. Our next jazz legend, Jeannie Arlen Peterson, pianist extraordinaire, is what the experts called a child prodigy. She began playing chords and melody at age 3. Her musical career started at the age of 15 as a pianist and vocalist. She became a sensation nationally as well as locally. This eventually brought her to one of the largest radio stations in the country in Minneapolis, where she remained for 22 years. Jeannie Arlen has achieved celebrity status in Minnesota. She won several Minnesota Music Awards for Best Pianist and was inducted into the Minnesota Music Hall of Fame as only the second woman after Judy Garland. Throughout her life, Jeannie had been recognized for her charitable contributions of time and talent. The governor of the state of Minnesota declared a day in her honor, and in 1997, Jeannie was the first woman to receive the prestigious Arts Midwest Jazz Master's Award for her excellence in jazz musicianship. Jeannie Arlen Peterson shared the stage and the recording studio with many celebrities over the years. Her playing and singing delighted the likes of Bob Hope, Perry Como, George Burns, Red Skelton, and Paul Whiteman. Paul Whiteman even invited her to do a special performance here in the Twin Cities at the Old Met Stadium. In addition, she has performed with and called Peggy Lee and Marion McPartland her friends. From jazz cruises to nightclubs and concerts, Jeannie wowed the jazz greats Sonny Stitt, Roy Eldridge, Bud Schenk, Toots Thielman, and George Benson. Donny Osmond always called her his Minnesota mom. In 1942, Jeannie married her soulmate, pianist Willie Peterson. They met while performing and continued their partnership throughout their lives together. Willie had a noted big band, which Jeannie often joined, and became a mainstay in nightclubs and recording sessions and radio. Jeannie released many CDs, and one in particular called My Calendar, which depicted the months of the year, received critical acclaim. Jeannie Arlen Peterson continues to be an inspiration to her children and fellow musicians, even after her passing. She always won the hearts of everyone she met, and she was the quintessential ageless woman with a God-given talent which endured a lifetime.
I played since I was 3. I could pick out melodies, and then I continued that and would listen to the radio, and I was able to learn from hearing. And of course, I had a family of musicians, and my brother would be playing, and my mother and dad, and I could pick it up. Mother played piano. My dad played wonderful ragtime piano and sax and fiddle. To play country dances, and Donald was a wonderful sax player, trumpet and clarinet and flute, and he's the one who saw what talent I might have, I guess, and that's how it got started. I was 15 when I started singing in a nightclub, and I had my parents' permission because Donald was on the band taking care of me. I had to go for an audition, and I truly wanted, and there was one song I wanted to sing, and the piano player couldn't play it. I said, well, that's okay, I can play it. I guess that sort of surprised him that I could play. I was playing all the chords, but I didn't know what to call them. So that's what I learned, the names of the chords. And it was a pianist who was very good and worked with my brother, Donald. And so I learned the chords and a few licks. I played with the band my brother was in for, oh, goodness, a long time. And then I think that CCO, we must have had a remote broadcast. And WCCO, a CBS outlet, must have heard us. And they called me to come to radio. So I was on radio for 20 or 22 years as a singer and pianist.
My kind of love, your kind of love, keeps me believing, although you're deceiving. My kind of love, one way to paradise. My kind of
love. I met my husband, Willie, in the business. And so we would play double piano sometime, and I was the girl singer. We had a good time.
Although you're happy today, you may be gone.
And then Willie joined WCCO as well as pianist and organist.
Willie Peterson is here with his wife, Jeannie Arlen, and I'd like to have him talk a little bit about a tune that you kids cooked up. Can you give me anything? What caused it? Was there an inspiration? Did you go on a picnic, or were you eating hot dogs? Or
I had nothing to do with it. Willie wrote it for a musical production that was presented at the university.
Yeah, it was called Romney and Juliet.
You and Jeannie play it?
Jeannie and I are going to play organ and
piano.
Romance as fresh as spring.
And he was the first organist for the Twins Ball Club, and that began in 60 or 61. So rare. And he died at age 48 in 1969, and then I took over playing for the Twins for 3 years. And it was fun. And I'd take my little kids. I had 5 kids, you know, when he died, and raised them, and they're all musicians. My one and only love? It's my husband's favorite.
Released many CDs, and one in particular called My Calendar, which depicted the months of the year, received critical acclaim.
I did June is Busting Out All Over for June, and I did My Funny Valentine, and I did a Spring Is Here medley of two tunes for March. April in Paris. No, I didn't do that. I remember April, I believe. May, One Morning. Busting out, June is busting all over, and at the Star Spangled Banner. Well, that was the most important song, I thought, for July. And I took liberties with it, I must say. I dared do it. I'd like to do Body and Soul. It's one of my favorites. I have to say that Art Tatum was the first man I listened to who I thought was wonderful. That's my education, listening to the masters, you know. Oscar Peterson, I can't forget him. Bill Evans. God, he's so good.
Jeannie Arlen Peterson's legacy lives on through her music and through her children and grandchildren. She has been called the mother of jazz music in Minnesota, and I think we can all agree. Jeannie, wherever you are listening tonight, thank you for being one of our inspirational jazz legends and joining us on this very special show. Thanks, Mom.
I loved every minute being with you.
I'm your host, Patty Peterson, and you're listening to the Minnesota Jazz Legends, The Elders. Thank you.
This is the Twin Cities Jazz Legends, and we're including Mr. Cliff Bronzell in this segment because he was one of the reasons I wanted to start doing this featuring of our jazz elders. And when I say elders, it's the people who have studied so hard, they have lived life, they bring that wisdom into their surrounding communities. And when you talk about the musicians in town, it is just sheer joy that they bring to people. Well into his 90s, Cliff Bronzell continued to play. And joining me today are his daughters, Barbara and Julianne, and I wanted to say thank you, both of you, for coming in today.
It's a pleasure,
thank you, Patty.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, we are here to talk about the life of Clifford Bronzell. Cliff Bronzell, as my mother called him, Cliffy. He was quite an influence in our Twin Cities, and he played music from a very young age until a few months before he passed away. Talk about how Cliff got his start.
He was the youngest of three children, born and raised in Minneapolis. His parents were immigrants from Sweden, lived kind of on the West Bank, the Seward neighborhood, and kind of the golden boy of the three children because he was so young, and had an affinity for music and started taking violin lessons at age 8, we think, and was first performing on a radio station at age 11.
And he came from a very musical family. His father played the piano for a living in the Oscar Danielson band, so Dad grew up in a very musical and very talented family.
How did he get his first connection into being able to play at age 11 on radio?
That I'm not sure of, to be honest with you, but someone noticed him and got him to play a little gig on the radio. But it wasn't until in his teenage years in high school when he kind of got a band together, including Carl Haney with the accordion. They actually got their first gig and begged to play even for free in South Bloomington.
In a bar.
Oh, my.
At like age 16, 17. And what happened, they were so popular, people were coming out there, and this would mean 1938 maybe, that the union came out and did a shakedown and said to the owner of this bar, you need to get your boys to become members or this will not exist anymore. So all the boys went down and became members of the Musicians Union.
And it stayed that way for...
Ever.
80 years, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he go to college?
Yes. He went to the MacPhail School of Music, and he got his undergrad degree there. And later on, he got his master's degree there as well.
Then World War II came into play. For a while there, he was in the service. He started out in the Army Tank Corps, and being a fine musician, if you will, and in a tank, it's loud as well. And he went to his superiors and kind of begged, you know, I don't think I'm cut out for this job. Is there anything in the Army orchestra that I could do? And they said, well, do you know how to play xylophone? And he said, yeah, which he didn't. So he got into the orchestra and played there for a while before he went to the pilot school in the Army Air Corps and became a B-25 pilot.
So he came back to the Twin Cities out of the war, and was he able to reunite with some of his cohorts that he was performing with?
Yeah, I think he did. For sure, Carl Haney. I mean, they were together forever. Carl Haney also played at the Golden Strings those many years later. There was a part of his life, too, where he went out to California to make it big.
Oh, tell me about that.
Yeah, he went out to California and would play in little bars, I think, same thing. And but yeah, he found out that it was not the life for him and came home.
What came in 1948-ish, Minneapolis Symphony. And with that, when he auditioned, he didn't think he had a snowball's chance. And he got the call that they wanted him. And he played, I think it was second violin, and I think he became chair of the second violin section. From that, again, more gigs and clubs, and eventually the Golden Strings at the Radisson.
Who founded the Golden Strings?
He did, actually. He was hired by Kurt Carlson, who had seen strolling strings down in Mexico City, and he wanted to recreate it up here in the Twin Cities. So Dad was, I'm not sure how they connected, but Dad was the leader, and he's the one who hired the musicians.
So as we're talking about the Golden Strings, was he immediately invited to play at the Radisson downtown with the Golden Strings?
Yes, and from that came 19 years. I mean, they played three shows a night.
6 days a week?
6 days a week. Sunday was the only day off. This went on for 19 years, 5,000 shows, and it was all from memory, and they'd have rehearsals every month, you know. They did 11, 12 albums for Kurt Carlson, and the public loved them.
It was a destination place.
Yes.
It was a destination place.
A romantic destination place. People came to see the Golden Strings.
And to this day, people remember the exact day, the exact year when they went there to celebrate their birthday, their anniversary, whether they got engaged, whatever the significant event was.
He taught at Hopkins High School and created the orchestra out there. I think he was in Hopkins for 15 years. He had the youth orchestra. He was a founder of that. He taught privately. He had this connection with youth and knowing and listening. He was a good listener, and he always wanted to know about you.
When he came back from the war, he was in demand. And before the Flame Room existed at the Radisson, there was another Flame Room, correct? And what did they call it? What was the difference between the two?
This was the Flame Club, the Flame Bar on 15th and Nicollet. And it now is the home to a business called Great Tapes, if you ever want to drive by it. It still has the ice block window that was there as part of the Flame Club back in the 40s and 50s. Great Tapes today has pictures of the original Flame up hanging on the wall, and there was two sections to this club. There was the front, which had a band, and the back, which had a carousel dance floor, and it's still, that carousel flooring is still a part of this new business today. But back in the 40s, 50s, when Dad was playing there, his band would play the front part, and there would be another, more of a dance band in the back. And the Flame was owned by a mobster, a gangster back then, by the name of Isidore Blumenfeld, pretty famously known in the Twin Cities. Kid Can was his nickname. And the story goes that whenever Kid Can would walk in with his two henchmen on either side, each wearing their trench coats, hands in the pocket kind of deal, and their fedora hats, as soon as they would walk in, Dad's band would stop playing whatever they were playing and play Kid Can's song.
Which was?
Jealousy.
Jealousy.
And I don't know why. But he would talk about going there on a Friday afternoon to get his little measly paycheck, and he'd go to the back door, and that back door is still there to this day. And then he witnessed some guy coming to the front door with a shotgun to hold up the place, to which the manager would step out and go right up to this guy with a shotgun and cold cock him with a fist under the chin and lifted him right up off his feet, according to Dad. And, you know, the manager saying, "Get out of here," and, you know, and the guy would run away. People who would come and go in these places, Sophie Tucker, Count Basie, of course, Kid Can, and it was quite an era that I wished we'd known more about, actually.
Cliff Brunzell continued his musical profession his entire life, including taking the concept of the Golden Strings, when it was no longer at the Flame Room at the Radisson, out into the public, hired for private parties, commercial events. Talk about how that was for him, because he ultimately became a booker, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And he bought the name The Golden Strings from Kurt Carlson for $1. So he had rights to that name. And he did, he was a booker. He was the person who did the arranging of all the music. And he did that for many years, including going to the Mai Tai after the Flame Room closed down. So he was there for a few years. And then even up until the very end, up until December of 2013, Dad played under that name for various events, private parties or whatever.
in the fall of 2013, celebrating his 50 years of the...
Of the Golden Strings, yes.
Of the Golden Strings.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Oh, and its inception. What a beautiful thing to have him honored. Where was that located?
That was at the American Swedish Institute, which, again, my father was very much connected to, being Swedish, but also his father was one who was part of the Oscar Danielson band back in the 30s, and the American Swedish Institute actually has recordings of that band. And my father then would recreate the Oscar Danielson band every summer or so at the American Swedish Institute, down to their actual original charts and everything.
Talking about Cliff Brunzell, and he is a jazz legend here in the Twin Cities. And we're just focusing on our wonderful jazz elders who have made it their life to continue in music. I know that he has had some awards throughout the years, too.
He received two pretty big awards that he was very proud of, as were we. He won the Minnesota Music Award Jazz Violinist in 1991, which was huge. And then in 2004, we all went down to New Ulm, yes, where he was inducted into the Minnesota Music Hall of Fame, and that was very special.
And he continued on. He celebrated his birthday with a few cast members who were in his same age group, and
yes,
he put a band together once again. Every summer, he had a group of all-stars. You want to talk about that for a minute?
That was at the Artist Quarter, and it included, of course, the mother of all jazz pianists, your mother, of course.
Actually, my mother was a few days older than your dad, and your dad did not let her forget that.
That's right.
You usually, I left you wide open for a great line.
Well, you heard me say that, yeah. Age is a number, and mine's unlisted.
All right, Cliff and Jeannie.
Have you heard this song called Pennies from Heaven?
Yes,
two.
It was just a fun show to be at.
Well, I know for their big birthdays, for sure, and then I think they did 90 and 91, and I'm not sure if Cliff celebrated 92 with music or not. He did, seems to me, at the Old Log Theater.
Right, and the Old Log Theater, that's a whole nother paragraph to talk about as
yes,
well.
Yes, let's talk about it.
Jeannie and Cliff and Percy and Irv and Don Stoltz, bless his heart, the owner of the Old Log Theater, wanted to have this Jazz All-Stars in the summer every year, which he did. I don't know how many years it ran, maybe 5-6 years. He was the leader. He would run the pace of it, and he would tell the stories in between, and the timing, again, impeccable timing with his jokes. We've heard it a million times, but they still made us laugh just as
something. That's that never-ending hope and positivity that forced Dad through his life.
Mm-hmm. Right, and joy.
Yeah, and joy. And passion.
He was a total businessman in terms of making sure he cared for his musicians so much, and he loved his audiences.
I would agree and add that jazz was really his primary love.
He got his spark from the relationship between himself and the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And even at Jack's Cafe in December, just last December 2013, it was the last time the Golden Strings played together. They walked him in, and the audience, when they saw him come in, they stood up and clapped.
Yeah.
It wasn't at the end of the show, it was at the very beginning, and Dad nailed it. He was 92 and a half, and he died 2 months later.
That's a beautiful story.
Also, going back to the Flame Room at the Radisson again.
And, yes.
I mean, everyone has some, you know, if they didn't go there personally, their parents had. So they know they have some connection. And Barb and I have heard all the stories, but one that is anybody who is anybody would go to the Flame Room for dinner. I'm talking politicians, sports figures, Hollywood types. The stop in Minneapolis was to have dinner at this fine dining, white linen tablecloths covered with these flame torches on the walls and stuff like that. And again, anybody who was anybody would make a stop there for dinner. This one particular, Mike the Maitre d' came up to Dad and said, General Doolittle, table 22, General Doolittle is a famous B-25 pilot from World War II. And, of course, that keyed into Dad being a B-25 as well. And so at some point during the show, Dad made sure that the strings gathered around the general's table. And while the strings were playing, Dad stopped, put his fiddle under his arm, and stood at attention and saluted the general and said, "From one B-25 pilot to another, I salute you." To which then the general pushed his chair up and away, and he stood up and saluted Dad back and said, "From one B-25 pilot to another, I salute you." Dad would tell this story every summer up at our cabin, at the folks' cabin, on July 4th, every year, with the family gathered around the picnic table, and he'd read the Gettysburg, and he'd hold his flag, and he'd have his specs, and he'd reminisce about veterans and tell this General Doolittle story, and we've heard it a million times, and there was always a tearful moment when he would tell us that. Mm-hmm. He was an icon.
And I feel absolutely positive that Dad was a blessed man and that he got to lead his life exactly the way he wanted to.
I agree. And when he couldn't anymore, that's when he left.
Been listening to Minnesota Jazz Legends, The Elders, hosted and produced by Patty Peterson. Executive producer, Michelle Jansen. Production engineers are Steve Weiss and Scott Melchow at Creation Audio and Ricky Peterson at Workhouse Studios. Minnesota Jazz Legends, The Elders, is funded by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This is a production of KBEM.